Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Daniel 11, if you open your Bibles there, I'm reading the New Living Translation. Then we're going to skip to the New Testament in 1 John 2, then 1 John 4, and then Revelation 13. Daniel 11, 36 says, "The king will do as he pleases, exalting himself and claiming to be greater than every other god. Even blaspheming the God of gods, he will succeed, but only until the time of wrath is completed. For what has been determined will surely take place. He will have no respect for the gods of his ancestors, or for the god loved by women, or for any other god, for he will boast that he is greater than them all. Instead of these, he will worship the god of fortresses, a god his ancestors never knew, and lavish on him gold, silver, precious stones, and expensive gifts. Claiming this foreign god's help, he will attack the strongest fortresses. He will honor those who submit to him, appointing them to positions of authority and dividing the land among them as their reward." Now if you jump over to 1 John 2, 18, it says, "Dear children, the last hour is here. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and already many such Antichrists have appeared. For this we know that the last hour has come." Then 1 John 4, verses 2 to 3. "This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here." Now Revelation 13, it says, "Then I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. He had seven heads and 10 horns, with 10 crowns on its horns. And written on each head were names that blasphemed God. This beast looked like a leopard, but he had the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave the beast his own power and a throne and great authority. I saw that one of the heads of the beast seemed wounded beyond recovery, but the fatal wound was healed. The whole earth marveled at this miracle and gave allegiance to the beast. They worshiped the dragon for giving the beast such power, and they also worshiped the beast. 'Who is this great beast?' they exclaimed. 'Who is able to fight against him?' Then the beast was allowed to speak great blasphemies against God, and he was given authority to do whatever he wanted for 42 months. And he spoke terrible words of blasphemy against God, slandering his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. And the beast was allowed to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And he was given authority to rule over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all the people who belong to this world worship the beast. They are the ones whose names were not written in the book of life before the world was made, the book that belongs to the Lamb who was slaughtered. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Anyone who is destined for prison will be taken to prison. Anyone destined to die by the sword will die by the sword. This means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently and remain faithful. Then I saw another beast come out of the earth. He had 2 horns like those of the lamb, but he spoke with the voice of a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast, and he required all the earth and its people to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. He did astounding miracles, even making fire flash down to earth from the sky while everyone was watching. And with all the miracles he was allowed to perform on behalf of the first beast, he deceived all the people who belonged to this world. He ordered the people to make a great statue of the first beast, who was fatally wounded and then came back to life. He was then permitted to give life to this statue so that it could speak. Then the statue of the beast commanded that anyone refusing to worship must die. He required everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. And no one could buy or sell anything without the mark, which was either the name of the beast or the number representing his name. Wisdom is needed here. Let the one with understanding solve the meaning of the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Father, thank you for your word. And I pray you speak to us. Let your truth come. Let your truth, Lord, invade the hearts of your people. And let everything that opposes the knowledge of God be cast down. Let your power come. Let your fire come right now, Lord. And I pray for revelation to enter and understanding. Come on, lift your hands and say, Lord, give me understanding and insight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What an amazing passage of scripture. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I believe in Bible prophecy, and eschatology is the study of the end times. And, you know, one of the reasons I never fully backslid was because I remember as a kid, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, my mom, you know, we'd talk about the Lord, and she'd talk about the end times. And there were the charts, and she had books. I remember one time going to my parents' bedroom, and on her nightstand, on her side of the bed, there were these books on eschatology, and I begin to read them, and the beast, the mark of the beast, and all these things. And I'm like, I don't want to be around for that. I remember my mom saying, there's going to be a time when men and people, they're going to wish they could die, but they were not going to die. They're going to jump off buildings and they're still going to live. And all these, and I was like, ah, they're going to bite their tongues in half. And they were, I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to go through that. But because of the torment that comes at the end of the enemy, hallelujah, once the church is taken. Now, many have conjectured about the things that are going to happen, and there's a lot of disagreement on these things. One thing we know is that God's on the throne, the devil is defeated, and we live in victory. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, at one point, an Antichrist figure will appear. And this will happen, we don't know when, but in Revelation 13:18 talks about the number of the beast, which is the 666. And, you know, 7 is the number of perfection and the divine number. And 6 is the number of man. And 666 is the glorification of man. Now, some have tried to identify who he will be by using numbers and taking the meaning of the letters of their numbers, their people's names in the Greek, and all kinds of things. But the thing with numbers is that they can be manipulated to say anything you want. The one thing we know is that nobody knows the time. Is what Jesus said. Hallelujah. You just don't want to be around for this kind of stuff. So serve Jesus with all your heart. Amen. As if he's returning in the next 30 seconds. Now, the important thing to know is that the spirit of Antichrist has always been at work in the world. And whether he's alive or not, like the Antichrist is alive or not, we don't know. And there may be potential candidates waiting in the shadows, ready to manifest, but we don't live our lives trying to figure that out. Like, you don't live consumed like, oh my God, who's the Antichrist? And people said, you know, it's like President Obama or, you know, or President Trump or, you know, or President whoever. And all the, nobody knows. Stop trying to figure it out. Serve Jesus with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind. However, the spirit of Antichrist is at work in the world. Now, I know where I'm going. We're in the winning team. If you're living for Jesus, you have nothing to worry about. Hallelujah. And God is victorious. So no demon in hell, even Satan himself, has power over the people of God. Jesus said that all power and authority has been given unto me, and I give it unto you to tread over serpents, to pick up deadly things that will not harm you. Even if you drink poison, it'll not kill you. It's not like, you know, let's drink poison and test God. The Bible says to not test the Lord. But same as somebody try to poison you, amen, that's why you should pray for your food before you eat. The missionary said, you know, he went to this village and these warlocks invited him into their hut and fed him food. And he ate a bowl. You know, he gave thanks. And then he's like, can I have some more? And they had some more. And they're like, you know, why are you not dead? We put enough rat poison in that thing to like, it's like, it tastes good. Praise the Lord, and he's still alive today. Come on, God's on the throne. Now, understanding these things, the Antichrist means in place or against. So this spirit or the Antichrist is someone who is against Christ, who is against God. And we read in 1 John and 2 John five times the word Antichrist. It's a pseudo-Christ, false or deceptive. In 2 John 7 mentions many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as God have gone out, and any such person is a deceiver and an Antichrist. In Mark 13, 22, Jesus said, "For false Christs and false prophets shall arise, and they shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." Now, the elect is anyone who's called on the name of the Lord and made Jesus the Lord of their life, is their Savior. It's not saying that God, you know, there's some theologies out there that says, you know, once you're saved, you're always saved. You know, you're predestined, so God chose you. So, you know, you can't change that. That's not true. God is not like, you know, duck, duck, damn, duck, duck, damn. That's not how God operates. But we have choice. We have freedom. Amen. So you walk, if you live for the Lord, you shall be saved. You devote yourself to God. Now, people who claim to love God and who call themselves believers, you know, what he's saying is will try to deceive you and me with false signs, wonders, and miracles. You see, the spirit of Antichrist at work in Matthew 7:15 says, "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes for thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" So there's people that are going to rise. They're going to try to confuse you. They're going to try to seduce you with power, fake signs, fake wonders to, if possible, even get those who love God, who've been serving God, away from the Lord. That is the spirit of Antichrist at work. Now, rebellion in those people that, you know, they'll try to do these things. There are sheep, you know, wolves in sheep's clothing. Rebellion is usually a sign that someone shouldn't be trusted. Like, they do all these things, but they don't have a pastor. They don't have a leader. I belong to the body of Christ. Really? No, you know, Jesus is my pastor. You see, you hear these things. No, it's not. Hallelujah. No, they're not. You're rebellious. Praise the Lord. Now, the spirit of Antichrist will do false miracles to deceive. The Bible calls him the man of lawlessness, a man doomed for destruction. Now, the beast in Revelation that we read in Revelation 13:1 says, "I saw a beast coming up out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads. On its horns were 10 crowns, and on its heads were blasphemous names. The beast I saw was like a leopard. Its feet were like a bear's. Its mouth was like a lion's mouth. The dragon gave the beast his power, his throne, and great authority. And one of his heads appeared to be fatally wounded, but this fatal wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed the beast." Behind this enemy, behind this beast, is Satan himself. So the Antichrist is a physical manifestation of the devil, of Satan. In Daniel chapter 11, a figure after Daniel died rose up, and many heard of Alexander the Great that conquered the known world all the way through India. And when he died in his early 30s, his kingdom was divided into 4 generals. And one of his generals that took over the Near East in Palestine, Antiochus Epiphanes, he was so consumed by his own culture that he did these things. He wasn't the Antichrist, but he was an Antichrist. And he, you know, defiled the temple of the Lord by offering a pig as sacrifice in the temple of the Lord. He made Jews that were devout Jews who were, you know, no bacon for them. They couldn't eat, you know, pigs. It was an unclean animal. And at that time, you know, he made them eat pig. And he desecrated the temple. And Daniel 11 prophesies about things that ended up being fulfilled by Antiochus Epiphanes, but he was not the Antichrist. What are we talking about? We're talking about that there's a spirit at work in the earth today that is trying to get God to go against God and try to turn people, even those who love him, even those who serve them, to turn them away from the Lord. And they'll come even with false miracles, signs and wonders, all kinds of things. Hallelujah. But they're wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, Antiochus was defeated by the Maccabees. That's, you know, how their Hanukkah is the celebration of that defeat. And in Daniel 11, verse 36, he talks about a figure that would do whatever he wanted. And Daniel described him as the willful king. And we see that this Antichrist spirit is a spirit that is at work in people's lives to get them, instead of worshiping God, to worship themselves. They're not going to do what God says. They're not going to obey the word of God. They're not going to be devoted to God. They're not going to be devoted to a church, which is, you know, the bride of Christ. But they're going to be devoted to themselves. A willful king. He will magnify himself above every god and will say terrible things against God. He will attempt to set himself in the temple of God. And we don't know when this is going to happen, but we know that the spirit of Antichrist is at work today in the earth. The question is, how will we defeat the spirit of Antichrist and not allow it to control your lives? According to Romans 1, we see that the first sign of the rejection of God and self-worship, when man turns away from the Lord and rejects God and rejects his creation, what is plainly seen. So, you know, if you're a Gnostic, we love you. We love everybody. Amen? Praise the Lord. Our goal is that everyone, none should perish, but all be saved. But you can't say there's no evidence that, you know, God exists, because God said, when you look at nature, it declares the glory of God. When you look at a baby, you know, you see their little hands. It declares the glory of God. It fascinates me. And you look at their little feet. I love baby feet. They're so tiny. You know, and they're so, like, perfect. It's a foot, but it's this big. It's a baby. There's a little hand, but it's this big. And it's got the little fingers, all the articulation. It's a miracle. Hallelujah. I remember one time driving from, you know, Big Lake over here to Wasilla, and coming up over the bend, it was, you know, over that little hump, and it comes down between Church Street and Pitt. And I remember coming up that hill and seeing the mountains in the winter and the white and the glistening and the sun. And I just, you know, glorified the Lord. Hallelujah. The magnificence of God is displayed in nature. Hallelujah. Now, the first sign when people reject God is that one of the first things that happen is homosexuality, because men will begin to worship themselves. God doesn't matter. What he says doesn't matter. And, you know, and remember when it used to be like, you know, homosexuality was the thing. Same-sex marriage became the issue. And now, you know, it's progressing where people are, you know, what I say matters, what I want matters. You need to call me by how I want to be called. All these things are going through. The spirit of Antichrist is going through, you know, a place where going through the process of programming and making it okay. You can't leave your house. You're not essential. Is your faith thing that I developed, that was developed by man? Not me. I did not develop the China virus, you know, this thing that was released on the earth, and then, you know, to try to force people into that. Praise the Lord for a church that stands up. Hallelujah. Because it'll try to force you and try to get you, try to seduce you, coerce you to go against what God says. Now, understanding the spirit of Antichrist and defeating it, it attempts to distort the truth. Men say they're women now, and women can, you know, I don't know that the inverse is happening as much as the other. And now we're in a world where, you know, we had feminists. You had feminists outright, you know, battle, I'll fight you feminists. Everybody, you know what I'm talking about? And it's like they're like, you know, women, women only, women alone. Those same people now are looking at men who are fully intact, haven't castrated themselves physically, fully intact, the same people that would fight for women's rights and for the women liberation and whatever else. And I'm, you know, praise the Lord. And now they were so adamant about that. Now they're saying that men, fully intact men, just dressed a woman and claiming to be women, are women. And they should have positions of power. How screwed up is that? It's a distortion of truth. Where children are being indoctrinated in schools And we got whole programs and, you know, whole, you know, the school system that allowing and giving books and all these things, it's evil. It's from the devil. It's destructive. It's seductive. And it's attempting to destroy even those, the elect, those who have called upon the name of the Lord and love Jesus. And 1 John 4 says, this is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if they claim to be a prophet and do not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. I'm very leery of people who are kind, who are nice, who do all these philanthropic things, but they never mention Jesus. They never mention the Lord. They're just nice for being nice. Like Mr. Beast, you know, came out with the channel. I don't know, you know, or he's the most watched YouTuber in the world. And parents, if you don't know about this, please, you know, take note. And, you know, he's got the most watched channel in the world. He translates and he dubs all his channels into many, many different languages, over 100 million subscribers. And so, you know, and I would hear about him, and some of his videos are like pretty cool. He's giving stuff away. He lives in a tiny apartment. He's like a billionaire, but he lives in a tiny apartment, and everything he does is to give things away. I was like, wow, what a really nice guy. I wonder if he loves Jesus. And then, you know, recently a video came out where Mr. Beast, like we just read all those verses, the beast behind him, you know, and I'm not saying that he is Antichrist. I'm just saying, though, he's giving eyesight to the blind. Like, what? Hold up. What's going on? And actually, he paid for 1,000 people that needed, you know, cataract surgery, or, you know, it was corrective through surgery. He paid for 1,000 people to have, you know, eye correcting surgery. That's great. Right on. That's good. That's a good thing. And then, you know, one of his best buddies in this channel that over 100 million people are subscribed to, and a lot of them, their children are watching, one of his friends now left his family, left his wife, abandoned their child to, you know, to be the right gender and began now cross-dressing, full intact man in a channel that is, you know, loved by so many. I used to like blind men. This guy's cool. The stuff he does is cool. You know, when we see stuff like that, is how much more should we be doing for the kingdom of God? Hallelujah. But no God, no mention of the Lord. You got to be careful of those things. You have to overcome false doctrine. Come on, say with me, false doctrine. Those are false teachings about the things of God. Not only do you need to know what true doctrine is and what the scriptures are, but you need to communicate it in love. That's why you need to be in the life group. That's why you need to plug into a team. That's why you need to be at church when there's prayer. That's why you need to come to early morning prayer. You want to live in victory. It's not just, you know, go to the church. How actually involved are you? How rooted are you in the things of the Lord? That's going to make all the difference in whether you're one of the ones who get swiped away and seduced by evil, or the ones who you see through those things because you're rooted in the word of the Lord. You're rooted in the relationship with other believers. Hallelujah. And I'm so thankful for a church that loves God, for a pastor that is uncompromising. Praise the Lord. Both in Pastor Daniel and Dr. Morocco. One of the things that I love about our church is that Dr. Morocco, being who he is and as educated as he is, when he preaches the word. And it's you, you know, there's no like, and you can talk to him, you can go deep, you can go so deep, you can go so high, all these things, but when he preaches the word. Because it is the word of God that transforms. It is, you know, man apart from God is nothing. By ourselves, we don't exist. Hallelujah. I mean, we do, but it's just a matter of time. Many groups are demeaning the name of Jesus. You be careful with that. You know, we got Jehovah's Witnesses that Jesus is a lesser God. Mormons, you know, that Jesus is an Adam God and we can become God too. Satan and his brother. Let me tell you, there is no battle between God and Satan. The Bible says that with the same thought that Satan had, I will go up to the mountain of the Lord and I will take... Whoa! with the same thought that he had, I'm going to take over, God struck him down. He's nothing. He's defeated. Hallelujah. God's on the throne. We live in victory. If you're a believer, we live in victory. We're not trying to defeat the devil. He's already defeated. He was defeated on the cross when Jesus died on the cross and he rose again and shed his blood. Hallelujah. We were set free. And for freedom, you've been set free. So you need to understand what that means. Then you need to get it in your heart and get it in your mind and begin to declare the word of God in your life. Hallelujah. In every area. And beware of anyone and any religion and anything that will demean the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus' name is not a cuss word. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Jesus is fully man and fully God. Hallelujah. He's not a lesser part of the Trinity. No, he is fully God and fully man. Hallelujah. You don't demean the name of Jesus, but you must understand what the Bible says, what the word of the Lord says. Amen? Jesus is not a mirror of God. Do you know that you are and I am? I are. I is. We are the image in God. The Bible says we're created in his image and likeness. Hallelujah. And without him, Jesus said in John 8:24, that is what I said to you, that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am who I claim to be, you will die in your sins. He basically told the Pharisees, unless you believe that I am who I say I am, you will die in your sins. And when he said that statement, they knew exactly what he was saying, because when God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, he said, Lord, who should I say sent me? And he says, I am that I am. Moses, who sent you? I am. And Jesus here, he is God. Hallelujah. If you have the wrong idea about Jesus, you may have whatever philosophy or teaching you want. It won't keep you from hell. And every church that does not tear down, and I love that Pastor Daniel talks about this, every church that doesn't tear down, hallelujah, the Trinity, the Godhead, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, you know, they love God. So, you know, don't talk bad about other churches. Praise the Lord. But if they're cults, it's fair game. Seriously. And don't just be like, you know, if you see two people coming together and they're wearing, you know, shirts and the black pants, don't be just like, you're going to hell, you're in a cult. Actually love people enough to, you know, encourage them. Amen? We overcome the undermining of the church by being faithful to God's work. The only way we're going to overcome this time, what is your priority in life? What are you devoting yourself to? Is if you are steadfast in the Lord and connecting with the church of the Lord. But the church is, you know, the church universal. Yeah, which is expressed through the local church. So if you're not part of the local church, you can't say that you're part of the universal church. Can I get a better amen? I let that sink in. If you're not part of a local church, you're not part of the body of Christ. We've had people come to Eagle River, you know, especially, you know, as we're growing and God's doing great things. It's like, you know, we're from the church of God. You're like, oh, I want to help. It's like, oh, great. You know, like, and they're like, yeah, like, what service? Or like, well, you know, I have my real, the church that I go, like, well, you go to another church. That's great. Why don't you just, you know, stay there and focus there. Bloom where you're planted. Well, I like to help all the churches. We don't need help. Thank you. Come on. You must be part of a Bible-believing church. Now, if you're part of a dead church, that is a woke church, that, you know, it doesn't preach the word of the Lord, leave that thing. Join with the church. This is a great church. Hallelujah. This is a church that loves people, that love you enough to say, you know, what you're doing. Hallelujah. But you got to get connected with the leadership. You got to connect in, you know, life group. Connected, you know, with the life of the church. Get connected with the ushers, men. You want freedom? You want to live in the blessing of the Lord, live in the power of the Holy Ghost? Amen. Be strengthened. Get connected. Well, I'm too busy. You know, there's people, you know, if your life is totally trashed and, you know, and broken, and then you get healed and transformed, and then you fish every weekend, God is going to require of you. Hallelujah. I love fishing as much as the next guy. Praise the Lord. Well, maybe a little less. I'm not that, you know, I like deep sea fishing. Praise the Lord. And dip netting, I love it now that my kids do it. Hallelujah. I love being there on the beach watching them in the sun. Praise the Lord. But anyway, you got to be part of the church, because the enemy is going to try to separate you from the protection, which is the church. The church in America, you know, used to have services every night. Anybody ever remember? I mean, in Brazil, when I was a kid, we had service every night. We'd go to church every night. That's a little too much. Really? Did you hear what we read earlier? That's what you get apart from God. Hallelujah. No, thank you. Now, don't allow personal leisure habits to keep you from coming to church. And you're all here on a Wednesday night. Come on, just, you know, pat yourself on the back and say, good job. Praise the Lord. If you're watching online and you could be here, you should be here. Amen? So, you know, we overcome this lawlessness, you know, with unchecked political power. They have to be tempered by your political involvement. And I'm so glad that the church is mobilizing and the people of God is mobilizing. Don't just check out. If you're a believer and you got a spider hole, you need to repent. Get rid of your spider hole, sell it. What are you going to do when your neighbor, your elderly neighbor is like, you know, do you have some food? You're going to shoot him down and hide in your spider hole? Do you know that Jesus multiplied a little boy's meal and fed over 20,000 people? You must understand who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. Get plugged in. Know who you are. Take steps of faith. Do great things for the Lord. Don't be afraid, but rather plug in. Now, the ultimate picture of the Antichrist spirit is something we struggle with every day in our lives. And that is, are you going to worship you or are you going to worship God? I can't go to prayer. I'm like, you know, I'm a night owl. I can't go to EMP. I can't be an usher. You know, I'm too busy. Does your world revolve around you or the Lord? Let's try that again. Does your world revolve around you or the Lord? Pastor Morocco, you know, teaches that we are to structure our lives, not structure prayer around our lives, but rather structure our lives around prayer. You know, my parents, you know, growing up, one thing that we never put in place was coming to church. Every Wednesday night, every Monday night, every Wednesday night, and every weekend we had services. And my father worked, you know, we immigrated to this country. He never had a high-paying job, an executive-level job. He got an hourly wage. I believe he retired with like, you know, $13 an hour, something like that. So he would work in order to compensate for that. That's what men do. They work long hours. And he would work 5 to 8 p.m. and work, you know, but every Wednesday night he was at church. Not only that, but he served as the treasurer of the church. My mother was a prayer leader. Let me tell you, my parents are blessed. And they don't have any lack in their lives because they serve the Lord all your lives. If you will devote to yourself to the Lord, if you'll devote your life to the Lord, he will bless you. Hallelujah. You got to be careful, you know, with the, you know, it's like, no, I love Jesus. I just don't have time for all that. You got to have balance in your life. You got to be careful with that because so many people end up walking away from the Lord, doing things that don't serve the Lord instead of seeking after him. Hallelujah. The Antichrist is the epitome of that self-worship thing. In Mark 8:34, it says, when he had called the people to himself and his disciples, can you come and play, please? He said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Self is not the answer, not what we get out of it, but what does God get out of our life? What? Are you serious? Yes, he's the creator. And the spirit of Antichrist wants to switch things around and say that it's all about us, it's our need, or it's what we think is right, but really God is the one who has established that for us. And when you walk your life serving after Him, devoting yourself to Him through His word in service, you will be blessed. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? Jesus said, what does it matter to gain the whole world and lose your soul? Just listen to a pastor preaching. He's like, you know, if you in life, you get everything you want, but then you go to hell, what is that going to help you? If you have the highest paying salary you could ever had, and at the end of your life, you find yourself in hell, how is that going to help you? Well, that'll make you think. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at that time right now. We are at the time where Jesus is coming back soon, where every man, every woman, every child will be judged for what they've done in the flesh. And there's a spirit at work in the world that is trying to seduce you. And I want to encourage you that God is on the throne, that He is real. And I want to charge us to devote ourselves to the Lord. We're in a season of, you know, of great, you know, as we're looking to expand and purchase a building out in Eagle River. And I've watched this. I was part of this. Not as, you know, a part of some of you as we were pushing forward in Eagle River. I know the battle that's ahead, but we're praying and fasting. You know, I'm fasting every other day. We're seeking the face of the Lord. We're going to take over Eagle River. Hallelujah. We're going to see a great move of the Spirit of God. We're going to see families restored. It's not going to happen with you sitting on your blessed assurance. You're not going to walk in victory in your life just by resting, by coming to prayer three times a week. That's better than nothing. It's going to take you devoting your... Yeah, but Jesus did it all on the cross. Jesus paid the price for us to enter into the kingdom on the cross. Everything that we achieve that happens in our lives is a result of your work in the kingdom of God. If you have faith but no works, your faith is dead, is what James says. I will show you my faith by my works. That's why we pray. That's why we seek. That's why we show up. That's why we prepare. That's why we seek the Lord. Hallelujah. And you must do the same thing as you seek the Lord. He will entrust you with more and more. And we're in a season, you know, we just had the victory offering. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to challenge my wife. I'm like, hey, let's do something that hurts. Like, when was the last time we gave? You know, like, what are we doing? She's like, last time we gave the resurrection offering. I'm like, well, let's do it again. And she's like, okay. I'm like, what? Wait, no fight. You ever be like, you know, I'm going to go really high, then she's going to go low. We're going to meet in the middle. I was like, come on, let's do it. Let's do it. And she's like, okay. I'm like, ah, that's how I know that Jesus is coming back soon. But He is. But we're victorious. I want to tell you that there's lies that the enemy is trying to sow into your life through every area of life, through the news. No, stop watching the news. I mean, you know, if you read more, if you listen to more news than you read your Bible, your life is out of balance. You see, let's read Psalm 114. I love the giving message. That, you know, they left all these miracles, defeated 31 kings I had never counted before. Thank you, Dr. Dave. But Psalm 114 talks about that. He says, when the Israelites escaped from Egypt, when the family of Jacob left for a foreign land, and the land of Judah became God's sanctuary, and Israel became His kingdom, the Red Sea saw them coming and hurried out of their way. You see, when God is enthroned in your life, every opposition, everything that the devil intends to destroy you, when you come, it's going to run out of your life. It's going to run out of the way. What about the water in the Jordan? It was at flood stage. It wasn't like the creek that we have around here. It wasn't Jim's Creek in the shallow end or whatever other creek there is. It was a deep river with fast-moving water. And it says the water of the Jordan River turned away. And the mountains, oh, the mountains, they're so great. They're so imposing. They're so significant. The mountains, they scammed, they skipped. They skipped like rams. The hills like lambs. Pioneer Peak jumped out of the way. The Butte skipped away like a lamb. How? At the sight of the Lord, at the word of the Lord. Tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of God of Jacob. He turned the rock into a pool of water. Yes, a spring of water flowed from solid rock. Let me tell you that no matter what happens in the political realm, no matter what happens in the economic realm, the church of the living God will press forward. God is coming back soon. He's coming back for a bride. Hallelujah. And I'm going to ask you, are you the bride of Christ right now? Or do you have compromise in your life? Do you have doubt? I love what Dr. Morocco says. Doubt your doubts. Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? The Bible says it so. I have two prongs on mine, so I can. It's a little thicker too. What do you mean you don't know? Trust the word of the Lord. Trust God. Come on, let's stand right now. As we get ready to close. The secret weapon is the power of the Holy Ghost. You must understand that we don't serve a God as weak. We don't serve a God that is afraid. Hallelujah, but He's powerful. The Word of God, you discover the truth about who God is when you read the Word of the Lord. Why am I showing you my phone? Because on your phone, you could have applications that will read the Bible for you. There's no excuse. And Pastor Daniel even does. The Bible reading plan, the first couple of years I joined that Bible reading plan, I'm thoroughly enjoying the chronological Bible reading plan. It's pretty cool, although I like the other one too. I've been doing a reading plan ever since. It's magnificent what the Word of Lord of God will do in your life. The secret weapon is the church. What we're doing here today, it's not just a religious meeting. But actually, God Himself is here with us. Jesus said, whatever two or three are gathered, I will be there with you. There's people being healed, being transformed, being set free. Hallelujah. Every single day in our services. I had a lady tell me Sunday night, she said, Pastor, God healed me of neuropathy. Sorry I didn't tell you. It was like 9 months ago. I'm like, thanks. If God heals you, please let the pastor know. Please let your life group leader know. Neuropathy, she's like, look at my shoes. I used to have to wear men's size 11, double wide shoes because there's so much pain. But look, I got skinny shoes now. They're even too big for me. I've had these for 3 years and couldn't wear them, but God healed me of neuropathy. God can heal you, and He's transforming lives. Tomorrow we're meeting, we're going on post. We're gonna start transformations on post, which is the height. Listen, you gotta pray for our men and women in service. It's one of the highest rates of suicide here in Alaska. God, we're gonna meet that head on. We're gonna cast that devil. Hallelujah. We're gonna see righteousness rise up in the land. And no matter what happens, we're going to be victorious. But if you never stand up, if you never reject, if you never clothe yourself with the Lord, you could get duped by the spirit of Antichrist. I'm just trying to respect every faith and respect everybody. Respect is good. You should respect them. But as the preacher says, it's against our religion not to tell other people about our religion. You should be telling people about Jesus. If people don't know that you're a believer where you work, you should repent. Oh, you've been here 20 years, never knew you were a believer. That's wrong. Hallelujah. If you say you're saved, but you do everything like an unbeliever does, are you really saved? I would venture to say that you're not. Praise the Lord. Pastor Vince told me to say that. Come on, we're going to change that right now. And I want to encourage you, hallelujah, not to feel bad. But the Bible says all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In the world, there's nothing. The Bible says all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. But the wages of sin is death, but God's gift is everlasting life through Christ Jesus. And all those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And God has more for you, has more for me. Victory. Hallelujah. You're never going to lie in a bed of sickness. You're not going to spend the latter, those of you who are in the latter years of your lives, you're not going to spend the latter years in bed or sick. No. Hallelujah. But just like Jacob, who was laying down, he blessed his children. When his time had come, he picked up his own feet and he put it on his own bed and he gave up the ghost. Hallelujah. That's how a believer should live. And I want to encourage you tonight. If you're not experiencing that in your life, you got to go deeper. The Bible says, God says, if you'll draw near to me, I will draw near to you. So if God hasn't moved anywhere, he's still, come to me, oh, who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But the problem is, even with this, with your ideas and your thoughts, that if they don't line up with the Word of God, they don't line up with the truth of who God is, you're going to be hindered in your walk. If you demean who Jesus is, hallelujah, you're going to suffer. Jesus wasn't black. Jesus wasn't white. Jesus wasn't Latino. Jesus wasn't Puerto Rican with, like, you know, a cut goatee and like an earrings, like, you know, Latino. Jesus wasn't reading Revelation 3. His hair is white as wool. His face shines like the sun. His eyes are like fire. A sword comes out of his mouth. His voice is like the voice of many waters. Stop getting tripped up with this Antichrist spirit and lies from culture. Some of you are bound in culture. You're bound in what you grew up and what you heard. And it's a lie from the pit of hell. And it's keeping you from entering to the fullness that God has for your life. But I'm here to let you know that God will set you free. If you will let go of those things, if you let go of those ideas that are contrary to God, he will set you free. He will take you from the miry clay. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what you've done in the past. He will take you from the pit and he will sit you among nobles. I look at my life today. I'm standing in this amazing church, amazing pulpit, with amazing friends, amazing pastors. I came in so broken, and so lost and so hurting, and God healed me and transformed me. And there's nothing that can keep you from entering into great places in the Lord except your own mindset and what you think and how you think. That's why the Bible says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that we are to surrender ourselves to come to the Lord as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, and present ourselves to him and to renew our thinking. Hallelujah.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.